بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد عن أبي أمامة إياس بن ثعلب الحارثي رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من اقتطع حق امرئ مسلم بيمينه فقد أوجب الله له النار وحرم عليه الجنة فقال رجل وإن كان شيئا يسيرا يا رسول الله فقال وإن قضيبا من أراك رواه مسلم. This is hadith number 12 in the chapter of the prohibition of ظلم and oppression. As we repeatedly mentioned previously, that oppression and ظلم towards the wealth, towards the honor of a Muslim, as well as physical oppression, all forms of oppression are prohibited. So we continue with that chapter, and today we come across the hadith of Abu Umama, Iyath ibn Sa'lab al-Harithi radiyallahu anhu, who says that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam said, "Man iqtata haqqa imri'in muslimin bi yamini, faqad awjaba Allahu lahu an-nar wa harrama 'alayhi al-jannah." Whoever usurps or whoever takes away the right of a Muslim person, bi yamini, by taking a false oath, he takes a false oath in order to take away someone's wealth. فَقَدْ أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ النَّارِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed the fire for him. The fire of hell is decreed for him. وَحَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, and Allah made Jannah and paradise haram and prohibited for him. فَقَالَ رَجُلْ, a person amongst the companions, Ridwanullahi al-Mijma'in, he said, O Messenger of Allah, wa in kana shay'in yasira, even if it is something insignificant, something very little, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa in qadiban min araq, even if it is a stick, a small stick, from a particular tree that was well known amongst the Arab that time, that was known as araq, araq, no iraq, araq. Even if it is a stick, a small stick of that tree, and usually that tree was used to take the siwak from, you know, the kind of yellow, brown color siwak that we usually get nowadays from Saudi Arabia. So that is the tree. So even if it is that stick, and you take away from someone unlawfully, and oppression, and causing oppression and dhulm without your due right, then أوجب الله له النار, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed the fire of hell for such person, and Allah has made Jannah haram. So that extent, it is a severe matter of taking away someone's wealth. If you have no right, then you must stay away from it. Otherwise, remember this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah will decree the fire of hell for that person. The next hadith is the hadith of Adi ibn Umayra radiyallahu an, who says, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, I heard the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام saying, من استعملناه منكم على عمل فكتمنا مخيطا فما فوقه كان غلولا يأتي به يوم القيامة. Whoever we assign a duty, whoever we assign a duty to collect the zakah and the wealth of the people, and he comes back and فَكَتَمَنَا مِخِيَطًا, and he conceals and hides away only one single needle. يَأْتِي بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ غُلُولًا, and that it will be written as a theft in his account, in his record, and he will need to bring it in front of the whole creation of Allah on the day of judgment, even if it is a needle. فَقَامَ إِلَيْهِ رَجُلٌ أَسْوَدٌ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, a person, a black person amongst the Ansar companion, he stood up and he said, and the narrator of the hadith says, كَأَنِّي أَنظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. The way he stood up out of shock, as if I'm seeing him and I'm watching him right now. He stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, iqbil anni amalak. O Messenger of Allah, please take my duty back from me. So it seemed that the Prophet ﷺ had assigned a duty to him, and he stood up and he said, O Messenger of Allah, please take it back from me. So I cannot carry out any duty, I can't take any responsibility of collecting the zakah or the sadaqat or the charity of the people. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked him, he said, Wamalak, what happened to you? Why have you reacted this way? He said, سَمِعْتُكَ تَقُولُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. O Messenger of Allah, I just heard you saying and warning us against this matter. So that is why I can't take this responsibility. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reiterated and he said again, he said, وَأَنَا أَقُولُهُ الْآنَ. And I say it again. And now I say it again. مَنْ اسْتَعْمَلْنَاهُ عَلَىٰ عَمَلٍ. Whoever we assigned a duty or responsibility to collect the zakah and the charity and the sadaqah and the wealth of the people, فَلْيَجِئْ بِقَلِيلِهِ وَكَثِيرِ. Then he must bring back small and big, everything. فَمَا أُوتِيَ مِنْهُ أَخَذْ وَمَا نُهِيَ عَنْهُ إِنْتَهَى. Whatever we as a responsible, we give him, it is permissible for him to take. In the form of his payment, his salary, his wage, it is permissible for him. وَمَا نُهِيَ عَنْهُ إِنْتَهَى. And whatever we have not given him, then it is not permissible for him to take. Trying to justify from his own that it is my right. So this is to do with the wealth of the Muslims. When you are assigned a duty, that is why this work, the charity work, it is a big responsibility. It is a big amana that you have to be, you know, sincere, and you must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bear in mind that you will be held accountable before Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram with regards to every single penny. With regards to every single penny that you collect. If it is your right, then you can take it. Those who are responsible, those who have appointed you, those who have employed you, if they give you and whatever they give you, you can take it. This is permissible for you. But whatever is not part of your haqq, then it is not permissible for you to take it. Next hadith is the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says, لَمَّا كَانَ يَوْمُ خَيْبَرُ أَقْبَلَ نَفَرٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. On the day of Khaybar, after the battle of Khaybar was over, أَقْبَلَ نَفَرٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. A group of the companions of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, they were walking around, they came across a person, they said, فُلَانٌ شَهِيد وَفُلَانٌ شَهِيد وَفُلَانٌ شَهِيد. They said, so-and-so is martyred, so-and-so is martyred, so-and-so is martyred now. And hatta marru ala rajul, until they came across a person and they said, fulanun shaheed, he is also martyred. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, kalla inni ra'aytuhu fin nar fi burdatin ghallaha aw fi aba'atin ghallaha. He said, no, by Allah, I have seen him burning in the fire of hell because of one single sheet or one single cloak that he stole from the war booty. Although he was martyred in the way of Allah, fighting for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking part in the battle along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because of this sin, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw him burning in the fire of hell because of this theft. Next hadith is the hadith of Abu Qatada al-Harith ibn Rib'i radiyallahu anhu. who says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu qama fihim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up amongst us in order to deliver a reminder and the khutbah and a speech. فَذَكَرَ لَهُمْ أَنَّ الْجِهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْإِيمَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during his speech, he mentioned to them that jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and iman billah and believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is afdalul a'mal. They are the best of the deeds. Faqama rajul. A person stood up and he said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, ara'ayta in qutiltu fi sabilillah tukaffaru anni khatayai? O Messenger of Allah, can you please tell me, if I were to fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the point that I am martyred and I'm killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to forgive all of my sins? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Na'am, in qutilta fi sabilillah wa anta sabirun muhtasibun muqbilun ghayru mudbir." Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of your sins as long as you remain patient and you continue seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, muqbilun, marching forth, meaning towards the enemies, غير مدبر, not retreating, not running back, not running away from the battlefield, muqbil, rather marching forth. If you meet all these conditions, then if you are martyred and you are killed in the way of Allah, Allah will forgive all of your sins. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he said this, he said, كَيْفَ قُلْتَ? He asked him, he said, can you repeat your question? Can you say it again? What was your question? He said, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قُتِلْتُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَتُكَفَّرُ عَنِّي خَطَايَايِ? O Messenger of Allah, my question is, you tell me, if I am killed in the way of Allah, will all of my sins be forgiven? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated. He said, "Yes, na'am, wa anta sabirun, muhtasibun, muqbilun, ghayru mudbirin, illa ad-dayn, fa inna Jibreel qala li al-an." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, all of your sins will be forgiven as long as you remain patient, hoping the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, marching forth, not running away, not fleeing from the battlefield. Except one thing, which is a debt and loan. If you have taken a debt from someone and you have not returned, Allah is not going to forgive you. Allah is not going to forgive you. فَإِنَّ جِبْرِيلَ قَالَ لِي ذَلِكَ. Now, right now, Jibreel came to me and he said it to me. That's why I have replied. That's why the Prophet ﷺ asked him to repeat the question, and then he answered, and then he repeated the answer. And he said, إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ, except the loan and the debt. Meaning, if you have borrowed money from someone, don't think that it is okay for you. If you return, that's fine. If you don't, then it will be forgiven. No. Even if you are martyred in the way of Allah, fighting for the deen of Allah, ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, Allah is not going to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive until you pay the debt back. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was brought a janazah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam asked the companions, did this person owe anyone any money? They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, you can offer his janazah. I'm not going to offer his janazah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to offer his janazah. Although later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was his sunnah that any janazah would brought forth, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask the family or the people around the janazah, he would ask about the deceased. If he owed anyone any money or any debt or any loan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, I'm responsible for him. I take the responsibility on his behalf. Then he would offer the janazah. And this is the reason that usually when we offer the janazah, we make this announcement that the deceased, someone who has passed away, the deceased, if he owns any, if he owes anyone any debt, any loan, any money, anything, then someone within the family, within the relatives, takes the responsibility. And then the person who takes the responsibility, whether brother or children or father, whosoever, takes the responsibility, then it is as if they have borrowed that money. Now it becomes their responsibility. The deceased is free now. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Nafsul mu'mini mu'allaqatun bidayni." The soul of the believer is the soul of the believer remains hanging, and basically, the soul of the believer is not decided about whether it is going to go into Jannah or Jahannam until his dain and his loan and his debt is paid. So to that level, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us against taking away someone's wealth without right. So if you borrow someone's money, then you have, it is fard and it is wajib upon you, and it is your obligation to return that money. And that is why it is a principle and it is a rule within the Sharia. And when someone passes away, then before the distribution of the inheritance, that all the debts must be paid. You can't distribute the inheritance without paying the debts. And unfortunately, this is what happens sometimes. The heirs, they say, no, you know, we did not know about this, so we are not going to pay. Just literally a few days ago, someone asked me this question. That, you know, one of our relatives, he has claimed against our father who passed away, that our father owed him some money, but our father never told us. So now we are about to distribute the inheritance amongst ourselves, amongst the children. But this relative is asking that our father owed him some money. So what should we do? I said, you know, if he has said, then you must return. Yes, if he has a witness, then better. And that is why it is important that when you borrow money from someone, you note it down. Note it down and have two witnesses. And this is the longest ayah in the Quran. The longest verse in the Quran is about this. When you borrow money from someone, note it down and have the witnesses sign it. So that if you pass away, or the person you borrow money from, if he passes away, then you have something in writing. And unfortunately, this has become a common practice amongst the Muslims. And not only when they borrow money, rather, even when they start a business together, they never write down anything. They say, it is okay, you know, we are brothers, we are very close friends, it's okay. Then after a couple of months, or few months, or years, they fall apart, and then they start blaming each other. We should bear in mind that the rights of the wealth of the believer is something that the Sharia has given utmost significance and importance. The next hadith is the hadith of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam said, "Atadruna mal muflis?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companions, "Do you know who is bankrupt? Do you know who the bankrupt is?" They said, "Al-muflisu fina man la dirhama lahu wa la mata'a." Messenger of Allah, the bankrupt, someone bankrupt amongst us is someone who has no money and no property. Someone who is faqir and poor, and he has nothing left. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, this is with regards to this dunya. But in reality, al-muflisu min ummati yawm al-qiyamah." He said, bankrupt from my ummah on the day of judgment will be someone, man ya'ti bi salatin wa siyamin wa zakah. Someone who will come on the day of judgment, and he will have in the record of his good deeds, he will have his prayer, he will have his zakah, and he will have his fasting as well. He will have all these good deeds written in his record. And he will be expecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him for all those good deeds, and he will be expecting Allah dhul jalali ikram to allow him entry into Jannah. But the reality would be, وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا, he will come that he had abused someone or used a bad language against someone. وَقَذَفَ هَذَا, and he made a defamatory statement or insulting someone or accusing someone. وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا, and he ate up someone's wealth without its right. وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا, and he shed the blood of someone. وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, and he beat someone. فَيُعْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ, so some of his good deeds will be given to this person, some other good deeds will be given to that person, some other good deeds will be given to that person, some other good deeds will be given to that person. فَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُ, and if the claimants are many and all of his good deeds are given away and he has left with no good deed whatsoever, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away the sins of the other claimants, and all those sins will be thrown on him. فَطُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ, and then eventually he will be thrown in the fire. He is the one who is truly bankrupt. He is the one who is bankrupt. Who strive in this dunya, he was regular in his 5 daily prayers. He never missed any salah. During the month of Ramadan, he fasted all 29-30 days. He paid even zakah and charity. And he was known someone very good. But in his akhlaq, he was one of the worst individuals. He hurt others. He attacked others' honor. And he did not respect them. And he oppressed them. He did a zulm against them. He wronged them. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to establish the justice. Alaysa Allahu bi ahkam al-hakimin. That is why we repeat in every single rak'ah of our salah, Maliki yawmiddin. So when we repeat this ayah, we should remember that we are going to stand that day before Allah dhul jalal ikram, and he is going to hold us to account on that day. And we will be responsible for our actions that we did in this dunya. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith that such person is the one who is truly bankrupt. Next hadith is the hadith of Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, says anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala, that the Messenger of Allah alaihi salatu wasallam said, innama ana bashar, I'm only a man, a bashar, a human being. Wa innakum takhtasimuna ilayh, and you people sometime you bring your cases to me. And you come to me, you approach me with your dispute. وَلَعَلَّ بَعْضَكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَلْحَنَ بِحُجَّتِهِ مِنْ بَعْضٍ, and perhaps one of you is more eloquent in presenting his argument than the other. فَأَقْضِي لَهُ بِنَحْوِ مَا أَسْمَعُ, and by listening the argument of one of you who is more eloquent than the other, I may end up making the judgment in his favor. فَمَنْ قَضَيْتُ لَهُ بِحَقِّ أَخِيهِ فَإِنَّمَا أَقْطَعُ لَهُ قِطْعَةً مِّنَ النَّارِ, if I do so, and in reality it is not his right, then he should remember that I have given him a portion of the fire of hell. He should not presume that because the Prophet ﷺ has made the judgment in my favor, this is what the Prophet ﷺ has decided for me, so now it has become halal for me. No. If he knows that it is not his right, although he won the argument because of his eloquency, and I made the judgment because of this, he should not presume that I have given him something that is his right. Rather, I have given him in reality a portion of the fire of hell. So, when we dispute on these kind of matters, we must bear in mind that this is something that I know and I will be held accountable before Allah dhul jalali ikram on the day of judgment. By presenting false arguments or false testimony in the court or any kind of these things is not going to make that wealth of someone or someone's right as lawful for you. It will remain haram and you will be held accountable before Allah Dhul Jalal wa Ikram on the Day of Judgment. The final hadith of this chapter is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لن يزال المؤمن في فسحة من دينه ما لم يصب دما حراما. A believer remains and he continues benefiting from the wus'ah, from the openness of the deen, as long as he does not shed the blood of a believer. Meaning that deen is open. Meaning what? That if a person commits a sin, the deen allows him to repent. So he can repent and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sin. If you hurt someone physically, you may repent and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you. If you take away someone's wealth, you return their wealth and you ask for their forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. If you commit any other sin, commit zina, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. So deen is open. So believer continues benefiting from the openness of the deen as long as he does not shed the blood. So as soon as a person sheds the blood of a believer, it means that it is as if he has closed the doors of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon himself. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Five punishments in one single verse for the one who murders a believer, who kills a believer. جَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. It was sufficient to say that his end is, or his outcome is going to be the fire of Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes, he says, جَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah's wrath and Allah's anger is upon him. وَلَعَنَهُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses him. خَالِدًا فِيهَا, and he will remain for ages in the fire of hell. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for him a severe and great and big punishment. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to mention only one of them, it would have been sufficient. If Allah curses a person, it does not mean that the person is going to go to Jannah if Allah curses him. If Allah is angry at someone, is the person going to go to Jannah? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have prepared a severe punishment for a person, is he going to go to Jannah? No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to emphasize and to highlight the severity of this sin, Hidul Jalal Ikram says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Sayyidun Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the mufassir of the Quran, he was of the opinion that the person who murders a believer and he dies without repenting to Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram and without seeking the forgiveness of the family of the murdered, then he is going to remain in the fire forever like a disbeliever. This was his opinion. Although the majority of the companions, Ridwanullahi al-Jama'in, they thought the murdering is one of the major, major sins. But it does not mean that the person is going to remain in the fire forever. But it is something that is very, very serious. It becomes very difficult for the person to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after committing such a great sin, such a severe sin. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a believer continues benefiting from the openness of the deen. So if you commit zina, it is easy for you to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you steal, you can at some point, you can repent to Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. But the one who has murdered, he will be hiding and he will be trying to run away, and he very unlikely he will repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, most likely for the rest of his life, he's going to continue committing more and more and more sin, staying away from the deen of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, and he will end up dying without repenting to Allah Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us against this severe sin of shedding the blood of a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to understand his religion. May Allah Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram forgive our shortcomings, our mistakes, our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy and his blessing and his forgiveness upon us all. Innahu sami'un qarib mujib. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu.